Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for an all-new episode of The Cody Springer Show, available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music Weekly. Ever since 2018, Cody has given you one of the most real and uncensored podcasts on the internet, talking about real-life issues, pop culture, sports, and everything in between. Welcome to The Cody Springer Show.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Cody Springer Show. I got another exclusive interview for you guys today here on episode 101 of the Cody Springer Show. I have producer 13 Hart on the podcast, and we had a great conversation. Not only did we talk about music, but you know, we also talked about some personal stuff that towards the end of the show that I think was just really deep. And you know, it's awesome whenever I'm able to connect with my podcast guests in this way, man. It makes for a great conversation. And yeah, man, I mean, just get a look inside the mind of a very talented producer, in my opinion. So yeah, without any further ado, my interview with producer 13 Hart. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I got an exclusive interview for you guys today. I have music producer 13 Hart on the podcast today. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good.
Glad to have you on the show. And I want to start off by asking you, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Ohio, but I just got down to San Antonio, Texas.
What part of Ohio are you from?
Dayton.
Okay. So not too far from me. I live in Van Wert. If you've ever been down there.
I don't think so.
All right. So, yeah, it's like about, I want to say like an hour and 20 minutes away from Dayton. Okay. I guess closer to me would be like Salina. So, like,
okay.
Yeah. If you've ever been that way. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I want to start off by asking you, what made you want to start making beats?
I'm not quite sure. I remember I went on a road trip when I was younger and I had like a little iPod Touch. And so I downloaded a bunch of apps onto it. And so I downloaded GarageBand for like the road trip. And I jumped onto it and just became like infatuated with it. Just watching like YouTube tutorials and everything. That's really just kind of how it started.
They just kind of played around with it, and then you're like, okay, you know, this is cool. You know, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, it blew my mind. I never really thought about the production aspect of music, really. And it just kind of blew my mind, so it kind of just took over from there.
When I had 2 a.m. Beats on the show a couple months ago, you know, he said that's something that he's really passionate about is the creative aspect of making music, the whole science behind it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just, it's insane how deep and complex it can get.
Definitely. You know, like, cause like when I first started listening to music, you know, like I mainly listened for vocals, you know, but then when I start getting into hip hop and rap, you know, I kind of just like was taken aback by the sound of the beats and stuff like that, and the snare and the drums.
Yeah, I really wanted to discern what made a, you know, great song. And between like, you know, just like a song that falls off quickly and it's really just in production. And so I really just wanted to jump into that.
Right, because that's another thing, too. Like, I don't think producers get enough credit, you know, because, I mean, a great rapper can, you know, have a great rap song, but that beat, though, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't think producers get enough credit in that aspect. And another thing too, I noticed that you have made a lot of Juice WRLD type beats. Was he one of your favorite artists?
Probably my favorite artist, yeah. I had a buddy get into him, and I remember he was like, yo, check out this dude on SoundCloud. And the first song I heard was All Girls Are the Same, and it had like 10,000 plays on it. Like we were jumping in there real early, and so it kind of just took over from there, playing all his unreleased songs on YouTube and stuff, like the thousands of them. He's an immaculate artist. RIP.
Yes, yeah, definitely RIP to Juice WRLD. He was, to me, he was very deep, in a way that people may not have noticed in the first listen, but if you could really get into him and just listen to his message throughout his beat, his lyrics, I mean, you can definitely, see a lot of pain in there.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I have my other favorite artist is XXXTentacion, and same story. You want to talk about just raw emotion. That dude, they were great in that field.
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, and that's another thing that's missing from, today's rap and hip hop scene is that deep emotional type of songs,
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, and another thing too, I noticed with your beats, they seem very structured, organized, but you emphasize a lot of melody in your beats. Do you think melody is the most important thing in making a beat?
Definitely. I would say it's more percussion, definitely more percussion, but I tend to get kind of too complex with my beats sometimes, but no, definitely percussion above a lot of other things. But if you have a great melody that also complements your percussion too, then that's when you're listening through and you get the goosebumps and stuff.
Right, and I honestly think a beat can really make or break a song, not just whoever, what the lyrics are, or whichever rapper is on the particular song, because I mean you can hear a certain beat and then all of a sudden you got that adrenaline flowing, like, whoa, this is different,
and it sets the vibe for the entire song. Like if you try to put an R&B artist on like a screamo trap, it's not gonna blend well.
Exactly right. But there are there's some artists that can make something like that work though, but they have to be very versatile in that aspect in order to do it.
I think that's why X is one of my other favorite artists. You can't even define him in one genre,
and I think that's the genius of a great artist, if they can, blend into different genres and just make something great, no matter what it is.
Yeah, no, that's a one in a million talent right there.
Right. So how did you come up with the name of 13 Heart?
That's a good question. I've been through a lot of rebranding just from, in all honesty, just mental health, like just, building up one profile and then just, deleting it, taking a few months, building up another one. And this one came up to me. It was one I was wanting to do for like since the first go rounds. And the way I came up with it is the number 13 is my lucky number, which isn't like that crazy of a story, but, and then Heart was whenever I had like a gamer tag on like Xbox, it was always like it always had something to do with heart in it. So I kind of just blended those together. It was like, you write down with your notebook and you're writing down like possible producer names, and that was always one of the first ones I wrote down. And so I thought this time around I would just jump on it. I didn't want to at first because I thought it was like, I don't know, people were going to come out and be like, when they're trying to talk to you, they're going to be like, hey, 13 heart. Like, that's just kind of like a mouthful. But since I put it into play into talking to people, they just call me heart. So it's like, it kind of worked out.
Well, that's another thing too. Like, when I, first read your name, and this is the same thing with 2 AM Beats, I kind of paint a picture in my head of what's going on there, and
Yeah.
I just kind of I saw it, but like that's another thing too. Like, I mean, you said that, you spent some other time with some other names. What are some other names that you had before this one?
Ones that just blended in my name were the ones I did before. My name's Mason, so I went by, Mesa Beats. It's just a variety of stuff, but my most recent one before I rebranded to 13 Heart was Vanta, which I kind of do regret closing out of that one. I thought that was a really cool name, but that one came from, I don't know if you've heard of Vanta Black. It's like that paint that they came up with like nanotubes and stuff. It was like some crazy stuff, and it's like the darkest color in the world or something.
That was Phantom Black.
It's a Vanta.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. Like, I think you have to have a unique name, as a producer and even as an artist, period. Because, I mean, there are so many different producers and artists out there right now. So you have to stand out, And I think, 13 Heart, I think that's different, and yeah, I think it'll allow you to stand out from other producers. Like, oh, like, what's this guy about,
Yeah.
Yeah,
And that's what I'm trying to do with the sort of the aesthetics, I guess, of the uploads. It's just, it's strictly black and white. And so you just try to find your own niche. I wanted it to pop out, but with no color,
so like, let's just say, if I was an independent artist and I wanted to purchase a beat from you, how do I go about buying one from you?
I have my link tree and all of my social bios. You can find my beat stars there, or you can just DM me. And if you're an independent artist and looking to work, I'll send beat packs all day long if we can keep pumping out together.
Now, I've had several artists on my podcast, and I've had 2 AM on, and the rights thing comes up a lot. Have you ever caught an artist like stealing a beat from you and not paying for it?
No, I haven't seen any of that. Anytime somebody uses one of mine, they give me credit. So, but maybe I'm just not digging hard enough. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's another thing too, like, I think it's very important for an artist to go that extra mile and purchase those exclusive rights, because, I mean, let's just say, some rapper used your beat and then it blows up. They get over 3 million streams or what have you, and it blows up big, and then you're like, wow, that's my beat,
Right.
And that opens up a whole legal discussion right there. So yeah, like, and that's another thing too. Do any artists out there purchase exclusive rights if you don't want to get sued,
Yeah, no, that's why I like BeatStars, because they sort of automate that in its own sense. So I definitely like going through BeatStars primarily. But other than that, if you're buying and, if I give you like a discount exclusive, you're like, hey, I want to upload this here, there, anywhere, and we come out with the deal then with more of like an exclusive type of, sale, then more power to you. Then I can just, if it pops off, I'll be able to, subtweet it
Right.
like, hey, put the credits in the bio, baby. Like, it
Yes.
just builds credibility at that point.
Right. Because it's a collaboration, between you and the artist, like just putting it together, like, hey, like you may be the rapper on the track, but I'm giving you the building block to do it, so.
Exactly. I mean, if there weren't producers, you'd be hearing a lot of acapellas
Right,
out
exactly.
there.
Are there any artists that you would love to work with that are in the mainstream or that are well known?
Right now, Ty Fontaine, big one for me. I've been really liking his music, and I'm hoping, Ascension drops pretty soon, which I'm not sure if there's been a release date or not yet, but yeah, no, he's a great artist.
And then another thing too, like when I looked on your BeatStars page, I noticed you had a Lil Skies beat.
Oh, I love Lil Skies.
Yeah,
Yeah,
me too, man.
I'd throw him in there too. Yeah, he's great.
Right, because like that's the thing. Like, I don't think a lot of people are, fucking with Lil Skies right now, and they should be, man. Like this dude's dope,
Oh, he's
Like,
great.
oh yeah. And that's the other thing too. Like he was kind of like grouped in with like a lot of mumble rappers. And I'm like, this dude ain't a mumble rapper, Like,
Yeah, no, is one of my favorite songs by him. He's not mumbling at all, but that chord and the hook too is just super catchy.
oh yeah, definitely, man. Like, yeah, man. I listen to his music throughout the day, And like and some of his newer stuff too, like his song Magic, for example.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's legit, and he's definitely someone that I think deserves a lot more. I don't know. I guess you would call it more clout or more visibility.
Oh yeah. I don't know. The people who I've talked to about him, they have like an impression that he's like corny in some way, and I have no idea why.
Well, I mean, like maybe a little bit, but I don't really get that from him,
Yeah, no, I don't get like disingenuous bars from him. Like it's, I don't think he's corny at all.
I mean, like when I listen to someone like Hobson, and I love Hobson's music, but there's some times where he has gotten a little corny,
Yeah, I love the Ill Mind saga, if you want to call it,
Yes.
and so they're great, but you're not gonna play those at a party.
No. Like, you want to turn up, you want to have a good time, but yeah, Hobson ain't made for that type of atmosphere,
Yeah, no.
But no, I'm not saying you can't party with some of Hobson's music. He's got some, songs that you could probably, turn up to, but yeah.
I respect him for that though, not kind of just making only, club bangers. Like he's genuinely like putting time and effort into his craft. Him and Token, like them both, they're focused on the music. I do think Token's a little corny though.
Yeah, I get that from him. And that's another thing too. Like, I've actually seen Token in person. This was back in 2016. I went to a Hobson concert in Columbus. It was me and a couple friends of mine. And Token and Joyner Lucas actually were some of the opening acts for Hobson. And Token actually like came into the audience and started like rapping to us. And I thought it was dope, Like,
Yeah.
yeah, but like, yeah, he can be kind of corny at times, but I do think that he is definitely one of the better rappers out there.
Oh yeah. In terms of rapping ability, yeah, he's definitely up there.
Yes, indeed. So, how do you get your ideas for beats? Does it just like hit you, or do you like kind of, I don't know. I do kind of mess around with sounds, and then something just comes together.
Oh yeah. I use Omnisphere mainly when I'm coming up for inspiration just because it has thousands of presets on it. So I'll start scrolling through them. I'll start laying down melodies, and usually by the time I get like the chords down, I'm able to sort of imagine the rest of the track.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes do you like paint a picture like of what's going on in a beat? Like, oh, you just imagine a story in your head?
I sort of see like almost like colors when I'm making beats. Like if I'm like imagining, purple, blue, red, then, I'll add the drums accordingly. And if I can keep them all in like the same
Excuse me.
sort of, I don't know, like atmosphere together, then I'm usually very happy with it.
So you associate colors with music?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like some, I remember reading about something like people seeing colors when they, hear songs and stuff. And I'm not sure if I like have that necessarily, but I definitely do like imagine like just sort of like a palette of colors going into it, and then I can keep adding to it. Like I'm not gonna add like, if I'm making R&B and add in like, X 808s to it, like it's gonna mess up the whole vibe. So, and really that's just come down to sound selection, so.
Oh, it is a real thing. Like, I think it's called synesthesia. I think I kind of have a little bit of it too, because I kind of like associate like sounds and stuff like that with colors too. It's weird. Like, I'm just, I don't know what it is, but I guess it's just tapping into that part of the brain, I guess.
I read about another thing where like somebody sees something and then they like taste what they're looking at, but it's like they don't correlate. Like somebody will look at like I don't know, like a pop can and taste ketchup.
Yeah, but it's like that though, like, yeah, man, I don't know what it is. I guess it's just that you've unlocked that part of the brain that other people probably don't have, yeah, man, that's just crazy to me, like how people can associate like things with taste and smell that or what have you that they shouldn't be able to.
Like the big old meat computer upstairs gets its wires mixed up every once in a while.
Right. So I saw on your social media that you're doing deals on beats right now. Can you go into more detail on that?
I'm just hit my DMs. We'll work together. Yeah, I can make custom beats if you DM me and you're like, yo, I want these type of beats, I'll do a send you a pack for a low price.
So, I mean, so you do beat packs, and do you drum kits as well?
Yeah, I got one drum kit on my BeatStars right now. I'm working on another one, and it's going to be more organic sounds, more sort of like I don't know. I've with my Raven drum kit, the one on my BeatStars is more just kind of universal for, trap R&B. You can mix them into, dream pop, and there's a lot in there, especially with the perks. I go crazy with the perks. I think there's somewhere between 20 and 30 perks in my Raven drum kit, and yeah, I go crazy with those. Those are, and then the effects too. I make a lot of those, like the ambient sort of sounds, and then I have a lot of risers, and then sort of like weird sort of sounding stuff, kind of like how Exo Tour Life, you hear that like the Minecraft door thing. I go for sort of those kinds of sounds, like the sort of like the ear candy effects. So I add a lot of those into the kits.
That sounds like you got a lot going on in there.
Oh yeah. Tons of different 808s, got a lot of sub basses. In my new kit, I'm gonna add more like acoustic synth basses, sort of like a one-shot kit for basses, but in the drum kit. I'm also gonna add like MIDIs in there too, like melody, like for chords and stuff, and then for hi-hats, just all kinds of stuff, just sort of like building block things, just keep other people's workflows, going real steadily.
Would you ever like want to produce a full length album for somebody, or you kind of just want to, just do what you're doing, or just put out beats and then, if people want to buy them, they buy them? Or what was be your thought process when it comes to that?
I 100% I really want to lock in with an artist and really have us build together. I'm currently working with an artist whose name's 3400 Pirelli, and I think we're going to work on an EP together. We have talks of it, and I'm really just trying to get into those. The main problem is one, artist's availability to record. So it's going to take a super long time to, get these across, which is fine. That's totally fine. But I feel like in this day and age, you really want to drop as consistently and as much as possible to, because I feel like nobody really anticipates, releases anymore, especially from more unknown artists. So you really got to be consistent and not just like you drop like a single like every 2, 3 months. Like I'm talking like singles, like three singles a month, like something crazy. Like you need to hit the ground running. Like that's kind of how Future got here. I mean, you dropped like 15 albums in a not crazy long amount of time. And I mean, we see where he's at now.
Right. I mean, that's another thing too. Like, people's attention spans have become so short, and I think that me and 2AM talked about this when I had him on the show. Like, people's attention spans have become so short that, I mean, once, they listen to you, they forget about you the next minute,
Exactly, exactly.
And that's crazy to me because how people listen to podcasts for hours on end. But when it comes to songs, they're just like, okay,
Literally. Hey, I'm guilty of it too. Like, I love music. I listen to it all day, but still I'm guilty of it. Like, I have a very short playlist and I replay it over and over again. And so when I see these new songs drop and stuff, like I may or may not add it, and still, like even if I do, like it's not like I'm hunting out for, their next album release. So like I'm 100% guilty of it too.
Like, unless they're like super invested into the artist, they're not really like focused on, their next release. They're just like, oh,
Right.
okay, but like that's the thing, like that's just how society is, I guess now, because I would say about 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, people were like clamoring for an artist's next release, like, oh, I can't wait till their new album drops or their next single, but nowadays, definitely not like that.
I think it was even less time ago. I think it's been like 5 years ago it was like that. And nowadays it's like, yeah, you need to be, the mosquito in people's ears if you want them to keep listening. And I understand, 100% understand artists want to, give an album time and let it, really formulate into something great. But I think if you're wanting to come up really and for people to actually listen to that album, you're gonna have to, there's a quantity and quality proportion that just works for some people and works doesn't work for other people. But I think nowadays you're going to have to really push for quantity and hopefully don't drop in quality either.
Right. But, you know, but that's a challenge. You know, I mean, you definitely want to put quantity out there now, but you might have to sacrifice a little bit of quality in the process.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's why Juice WRLD has literally hundreds of unreleased songs all over YouTube. And that's why he's a star, because his quality only grew, even though he was dropping singles all the time. So you have to put in the time and effort into it. Maybe make, you know, a handful of songs, drop one of them out, but at this point we're talking about, like, you know, what makes a star. So there's not really a definitive answer for that. You just right place, right time.
Exactly. So, I mean, you said earlier that you would really like to lock in with an artist and, you know, and work together with them. Would you be interested in becoming like a label producer for one specific label, or would you rather stay independent?
I'd rather stay independent for real. I mean, label producers, you know, they can work with people on that label. You know, the label will, if you're, you know, grinding, doing good work, they'll push artists your way, but still then you're under the grasp of a label. And I think when it comes to making music, you don't want to be limited by options. So I would much rather stay independent, maybe form, you know, a more of a sort of like an internet money kind of label, just a small group like Wave Force Mega's coming up. Just get a group of producers and artists together, you know, don't be afraid to stretch out outside of the group if you want to keep making the art.
Yes, definitely. Like, that's another thing too. Like, you know, a lot of the artists that I've interviewed in the last couple of months, only one of them is signed to a label. So yeah. I think that just only goes to show the increasing amount of independent artists that are out there.
I think people are wising up, honestly.
Yes.
So many artists get picked up and shelved just because they want their top artists to keep being top artists. They don't want to have to work from the ground up. So if you got, you know, people taking views away from your artist, you're going to give them $1 million and then tell them they can't release their album for 3 years.
Exactly. And that's a lot of the trap that people fall into. Like, oh, I got signed to a major label, but now they dictate what happens with my career. You know?
Right. And it sucks because a lot of those times, like, you feel for these artists. Like, I know people are like, oh, you're stupid because you signed it. It's like, you don't really know where they come from. Maybe they need that money. Family's in debt, you know?
Exactly.
Or like couch to couch, like just surfing other people. You're like, you don't know. Maybe that was like a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the kind of struggle that, you know, these artists go through to achieve their craft, you know?
Right, like, you're going to have to be working full-time and also grinding this on the side. And I don't know. I'm a big believer that, you know, if you make your, like, if you really want to pop off, if you make it inevitable in a sense, like, if you just work so hard that there's no other option but for you to blow up, like, you can do it, but you're gonna face just nothing but insecurity, honestly, for the first beginning, because nobody's gonna fuck with you, because people like popular music. Like, there was like a legit study done where people preferred the songs that were popular regardless of quality, regardless of who it was. If it was popular, people like it. So you really just gotta hope that, and I mean, if you work hard enough for it, I mean, I 100% believe you'll get it. Just become that popular song that people like. I mean, Post Malone, White Iverson, to change his life, go flex too. Oof, like no choice after that. Superstar now.
Oh yeah, man. Like, I mean, and I think you could apply that kind of thinking to anything you would do, Like, with my podcast, it's been going on for about 3 years now, and I've just kind of recently started, breaking through, so to speak, in terms of getting those downloads and that support. But that's not how I do it, Like, I do it to connect with other people and produce a quality podcast that I think people are gonna like, I just really think you have to do the shit you do for yourself, Don't
Oh,
do it.
for sure. For sure.
Like, if you get fulfillment out of it, if you're passionate about it, then that's all that really matters.
Because, I mean, if you hate it, like, good luck trying to get other people to love it.
Right. Yeah, because if you don't love what you're doing, then nobody else is gonna love it. So
Right. Like, I was posting a beat a day onto YouTube, and I had to slow it down because I was opening up my laptop with like sort of feeling to it. So I slowed it down, and now it's like, I'm going out my day, and I'm like, damn, I need to get on right now.
what are some of your future plans, like within the next year? What are you looking to accomplish?
I'm looking to accomplish. I'm just getting placements with artists. That's always like the big producer goal is you can never have too many placements. Back to the other subject, I really want to lock in with an artist and really grow with them. And then I have a friend out in Kuwait, and we've been working on a song together, or actually an album together, and a lot of his friends are producers, and they all want to lock in. So hopefully we figure out some sort of brand throughout that, and then it would be global at that point. We got I would be the only one in the US. And then there is a plan for some of them to come back out here. But still be popping off in Kuwait, take it global.
I mean, that's wow. I mean, Kuwait. I mean, I didn't really think that there was kind of a base right that right, like that for that type of country that there are people producing out there.
It's kind of an untapped market, honestly. There's a lot of people trying to come up as artists out there. And from what I've heard, if I believe I'm correct, like it's just not in their like society to be, an artist really. Like, you go to school and you get your job and you support your family. There's not really a lot of support for these artists, like amongst their families.
Oh, I imagine not, because it's just how their culture and society is out there, I mean, like, 'cause that's another thing too. Like, when we live here in the United States, I don't think we realize like how much more difficult it can be if someone lived in Kuwait or Russia or wherever, because it's a different type of culture, different type of society, Yeah, we just don't really know.
They like for example, we were having a talk on me and him were talking about mental health, and you sort of just become like they don't really like believe in it. Like they don't really have like a lot of options for you to get help. They don't, like good luck trying to get like antidepressants and stuff. So a lot of that just goes missing, and Even like places like if I'm correct, like Japan, where the suicide rates among, working men are crazy just because they don't believe in mental health, really.
Exactly. And it's just, they just want their people to work themselves to death. And, I mean, that's just insanity, in my opinion. I mean, it's their culture, it's their way of life, but you have got to take time for yourself, to mentally recharge, because if you don't, then it's just going to get worse for you.
Right. Which is kind of, I know there's like, people say there's like an uptick in mental health cases. And I believe that for, because of the internet, but also I just believe that there's more, awareness onto it. People aren't just being like, are just ignoring it. And then, down the path, they end up, drinking themselves to death, using drugs and stuff. There's it's more of a societal norm, I guess, more accepting.
Right, and that just it's really unfortunate, and a lot of people do turn to vices in order to cope with the pain and the just the trauma in their life. They turn to alcohol and drugs to deal with it.
I mean, I'm guilty of it, but I'm on a better path, and everything's been going a lot better. But yeah, no, that shit gets real, real fast, real fast.
Well, that's good that you've risen above that, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah, no, I'm happy I'm alive. Yeah. For real.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I think I've been there a time or two myself. I never really had a drug problem, so to speak, but alcohol, it kind of got out of control for me at one point in my life. And this was when I was like in my early 20s. I'm 30 now. But when I was in my early 20s, I had an issue with alcohol, and it almost got bad. But I was able to take a step back. I'm like, all right, I need to quit drinking so much.
Yeah, I just turned 21, and well, not I didn't just turn 21, but I turned my 21 in October of last year, and yeah, no, what the doctor said, he came in, he was like, "Damn, son, you hit the ground running." I was like, "Yeah," but yeah, no, I decided it was best to just stick with my sparkling water.
So, if you feel comfortable sharing, what exactly happened?
I don't want to get too deep into it, but just a lot of I never wanted to, like, since I was like early teens, like I was going through it, just with like family life and stuff, and I first it was weed, which honestly I don't think weed's that awful for real.
No,
I don't
I
smoke or anything, but after all the vices I went through, I'd definitely say weed is probably the best of the vices. But because I mean, you just get tired. Like you don't need to go to the hospital or anything, but yeah, no, I turned 21, and I was pretty much drinking like a fifth of vodka a night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, and it was to the point where like I would be withdrawing throughout the day, and I was on like, I was taking like perks and stuff too on top of it, which didn't help.
Ooh.
So yeah, we're talking like barely conscious, like throughout most of the, whenever I got off work, it was literally just jumping right into it. And so I'd pretty much just be withdrawn throughout the day. And it just got to a point where, your body takes a toll first. So like, you're sweating profusely all day. I got, like when your arm falls asleep and you got like those pins and needles and it kind of hurts a little bit. You feel like that all day. Like your entire body feels like that. Like the clothes hurt. Your clothes just hurt. You're sitting in a chair and the chair hurts. So, and then further down that line of doing that for a few months, I think my brain kind of got involved, and I sort of had like a breakdown one night when I was real intoxicated, and I took a bunch of, the pills I had, and my girlfriend at the time actually came in, and like, because I hadn't answered the phone in probably like a day and a half. And so I went to a psych ward, which those are great deals of fun. And then, so I had to get out of Ohio. Pretty much had to cut off everybody from there. And then came to Texas, kind of started back up on it again. And I had a real bad attempt when I came down here, but that one kind of woke me up for real. I don't regret that. Again, I don't regret any of it for real. It really woke me up. And
So that's another thing, the fucked up part about Ohio. There's a lot of drugs and just bad influences around here, man. That's what.
I describe it as Ohio's, meth and McDonald's. Like that's Ohio for you.
It's like that, man. I don't get me wrong. I've been here most of my life, but at the same time, like, there's a lot of messed up shit about Ohio. And to be honest, here for the next couple of years, I'm hoping I can get out of here,
Yeah, no, I was blessed that, my family moved down here, because just so I could get away from that. Because unless you're like an avid hiker, there's not much to do in Ohio.
There's not, man. And I think maybe that's probably some of the contributing part to why Ohio is so drug infested,
It's bad. I lived in I was over by Dayton, so you already know. It was popping. It was popping in there. So, yeah, I lived across the street from like one of the highest heroin user cat. I don't even know. It was across the street, and it was this apartment complex, and it was just constantly getting raided. There was a basketball court in the area that I used to go to, and just tweakers showing up 24/7, like.
My God.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I got out for real.
I'm glad you did, dude, because yeah, this nothing good happens here, man.
It's not a coincidence that like artists from Ohio leave Ohio and then blow up. Kid Cudi, Trippie Redd, like they all gotta leave. MGK.
Yes, exactly, man. Yeah, we're able to, have great people from here, but nothing great happens here in
Yeah, no.
itself. So, oh man, but that's great though, man. I'm glad that you've were able to get the hell out of Ohio and a lot better place now, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, no. I'm living great now, for real. Like, yeah, no. Yeah, we doing good. We doing good.
Before we close out the show, go ahead and tell people where they can follow you and where they can get your beats.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. If you want to follow me, my handles are Heart Oficio, which is short for official. And then you can hit me with DMs. My DMs are open. Also, I have a link tree in all my bios. If you don't want to talk, you just want beats. And I got my beat stars in there. I got a hefty amount, different kinds of genres. If you want something a little more eccentric, just DM me. We can work together. I can make whatever you want.
And I appreciate you coming on the show today, man. I had a great conversation with you, and I definitely recommend to my audience, or any independent artist who might be listening to this podcast, to check you out and do business with you.
Of course, DMs are open, baby.
All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with 13 Heart. Like I said, man, talented producer. I definitely think he's gonna be making some big hits in the future, man. So yeah, man, keep your eyes out for 13 Heart. If you're an independent artist and you would like to work with this guy, hit him up in his direct messages or go to his BeatStars page and purchase exclusive rights to his beats. Because man, I mean, I was listening to some of his beats earlier before we did the show, and he's got some bangers, man. Sure. So yeah, man. Big thank you to 13 Heart. And until next time, guys, I will talk to you all later. Peace.